Apostle Fermi Lazarus is a man raised by God to demonstrate his wisdom and authority to the Last Day Church. He is the lead pastor of Sphere of Light Church, and God told him years ago that a time will come where my wisdom will be needed to navigate tough times in the body of Christ. Then I will cause your voice to be heard, and all who pay attention to my word on your lips will not lack light and direction. He is a man sent from God, sent to raise God's end time armies. With Apostle Fermi Lazarus, every minute counts as you listen attentively.
Father, we give you praise and we thank you, because there is none compared to you in all the earth, and there is none like you. You do wonders, you perform miracles, so we give you praise. This morning, in a way only you can, speak to us. Help our infirmities and strengthen our feeble knees again. We give you praise, dear Lord, in Jesus' mighty name. All right, good morning, everybody. I'll celebrate everyone from different of our centers. Good to see you this morning. 1 Samuel chapter number 17. 1 Samuel chapter number 17, turn your Bibles there. Now, this is by far the most important series I'm taking this year. And I need you to pay attention, because for many of you, it is not about catching up first, it's about recovery. Alright? So please listen and listen good. Listen and listen good. Alright, so 1 Samuel 17, we know the story. The Israelites and the Philistines were gathered at a place called Succoth. Alright, and we understood, or we understand, that Goliath challenged the army of Israel for how many days? 40 days. That is, he will wake up every morning to throw a challenge. That is a month plus. Every day. And what was the challenge? All right, let's have this battle the whole way. We don't have to fight in a barbaric manner. Give me your champion and I will face the person. You see. So 1 Samuel from verse... David began to show interest in wanting to fight Goliath. And if you see the way David was registering his interest, he was not saying it like, in case anything may happen. He was speaking with a sense of certainty. See, there are things that you have to be certain about. You cannot but be certain about them. There are things you have to be certain about. You have to be certain about good success. You can't live a life of "if I succeed." You have to be certain about length of days. You can't live a life of "maybe if our life is long or if it is short." That is where everything begins from. The mindset. I watch boxing. I love boxing a lot. There are fighters that have what is called one punch knockout. That is, they have the ability to knock out their opponent with one punch, if gotten right timing, right place. So I was listening, because sometimes, let me give you a clue. There are certain things that you may not really find in Christian literature, but you can find them in books written by coaches, interviews by them. It helps you to see life in a practical way. Do you understand what I'm saying? That's just a secret, in case, if you will take that. So So I was listening to one of the former trainer of a world champion. And he said something about him. He said, you know, this guy is very good. And you know he's got that one punch knockout. He said, but there's something that you can't train for. He said, there's something you can't train for, and that's the heart. He said, he doesn't have the heart. He said, I can train him in other areas, but without that heart, those who are less powerful than him will always beat him. And several times, I had to stop supporting the guy because, why are you disappointing me? I will stay awake at night trying to understand what is going on. Only for me to see you've been beaten again. What's that? I follow champions. So I follow them and say, I wonder why will someone who is this good and this powerful enter the ring with so much timidity? You can't buy that heart. All right? You can't buy it anywhere. You've got to make up your mind. I will be bold. Nobody can give it to you. People will rather prefer you timid and trample on you. There are people that best relate with you when you are timid. Yes. And they will use you for their own good. Are you following what I'm saying here? So David showed a different kind of heart, a different kind of spirit. Look at what he said in verse 32. And David said to Saul, this was a teenager telling the king, let no man's heart fail him because of him. I mean, he was telling the king that we can't be afraid because of this guy. Let no man's heart fail him because of this guy. Said, thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine. You know, Goliath had made this noise for 40 days. The day David came was the day it ended. The day he showed up. He said, thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine. And Saul said to David, now listen to this. He said, thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, but he, a man of war from his youth. So this was the mentality. This was the reason why the king could not step up. So he actually had the feeling of inadequacy. That how much training can I give myself to that will match up with this guy? That was the feeling. They said, you can't go. They said, you can't fight him. This guy has been fighting from the days of his youth. Look at what David said in verse 34. And David said to Saul, now please listen, O king. Thy servant kept his father's sheep. And there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went after him and I smote him and delivered it from his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by the beard and smote him and slew him. What's that? Hope you know. Let me explain. I don't have the accurate terminology to use or numbers. But the power of the jaw of a lion can actually crush the strongest bone in a man. A full grown person, the jaw can crush it. So imagine the lion taking a lamb. And the first response of David was not panic. Before he could crush the lamb, he said, I went after him and smote him. And when the thing rose up against me, do you know what it means to catch a lion by the beard? The question you want to ask, because you see, we are loud about many things in Nigerian church. Oh, did our fathers find? Apparently, you are exposed to the same thing, but you said no. Okay? But do you know what it means to catch a lion by the beard? What kind of mentality is that? What kind? So I caught him by the beard and I killed it. Alright? Was not afraid of his hand being chopped off. That's the mindset. You said, this is my track record. This guy might be, he might have been fighting from the days of his youth, but I've also been busy. I've been busy too. I've been busy. All right? I have this track record. And Saul looked at him. All right? Look, let's look at verse 34 again. And David said unto Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep. And there came a lion and a bear and took the lamb out of the flock. And I went after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by the beard and smote him and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine will be as one of them, seeing he has defied the army of the living God. Then David said, verse 37, moreover, the God that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of the Philistine. And Saul said unto David, go, and the Lord be with thee. So Saul saw evidently that it is impossible to have this track record, really, unless God is with you. Do you understand that? It is not possible. All right? But this is what caught my attention. As at 1 Samuel 17, David was just a few years ahead of the ordination, or I can't say coronation, in 1 Samuel 16. It was just about 12, theologian said. 1 Samuel 17 was estimated to be around actually 17 years. Are you seeing that now? So listen to this. So it means that between the age of 12 and the age of 17, the devil began to fight to take his life. Why? Because of the anointing. Because he had seen something definite about his life. And what David rather did with that too, it was to use all those things as stepping stone for track record. The things that he's trying to send you out of your senses, they are meant for track record. And it is so painful how many believers miss the opportunity to have a track record, to begin early. To begin early. I'm going to tell you, many things about life is about early commencement. Many things. Even around ministry, many things. I was sharing with a friend. I sat under the ministration of a man of God. And as he preached powerfully well, and somewhere along the line, he began to mention certain things that I said, okay, this is where I stopped getting edified. And I mean, you blessed me thus far, so I'm okay. All right, I won't hold this against you. So one of my friends that we attended the meeting, so he was, I said, don't take the last thing the man said. I know you respect him, but those things he said, don't take it. So I called his attention. I said, see, we will not doubt the fact that this man has a powerful ministry. No doubt. The church is powerful. I said, but this last thing he said is the reason why he cannot speak to the body of Christ. I said, because, all right, the prejudice he has towards media and ministries and ministers that push their messages out on media, I said that prejudice is the reason why people will not accept the wisdom when it comes. Because there are certain things you have to start doing early. Amazingly, a young person who may not even have the sophistication and the size of the ministry, but he has come to understand what God is doing with his life early and has been practicing it, that fellow will speak to the body of Christ and the body will open and accept it. So it means that there are certain advantages you must have early enough. You must pursue it. Early commencement. And let me say this to you. See, let me say this. And you've got to understand this. This topic I'm teaching, something that is very serious in my heart. Oh. Let me tell you, all right, because the day I will ever have to preach without filter, many people will go home with tears. you will just understand that you are not where you should be. Let me tell you this. As I studied on this subject, one of the things I discovered is that many people never gave attention to their lives till they reached a mark that they felt comfortable with. Let me give you an instance. Some began to take their lives seriously at a certain age. Before I even go there, I'm going to get there. I need to share a lot about this. But you see, one of the best things that can happen to you for early commencement to be real is God to bless you with people that can nurture you early. And let me say this to you. When God, listen to what I'm saying. When God gives you such people, let your head be correct. To jump out of that water, you will come back later to try it, but you will have been old and sometimes too old to be used. I know what I'm saying. No? The best of us is doing what we are doing today because somebody spotted the grace in us. So sometimes I listen to what I'm telling you. Somebody somewhere, I attended a church. First service, that was how God helped my life. Without that man, maybe I would have just been like the rest. First service, God didn't even give me. First service, he just said, this guy. I mean, what could you have known about a first timer in church? They will hand the church to him. First timer. Oh, see, I left the church. Does this make sense? But that's God reaching out to say now. Now is the time. Are you following what I'm saying here? That's God reaching out to say now. So when God wants to really, really help you, one of the signs he gives to you is the grace to be nurtured early. So sometimes we have different programs to train people to do all these things. And I sit back and I ask myself, we are still at a phase in the ministry where I have to run bulk of the meetings, bulk of the programs, bulk of the trainings. Somebody who doesn't have 5 children will miss my classes. Young person, no sense of commitment to any course. And I mark people who pay attention. Because yes, the difference between men is the attention they give to issues. I mark people that pay attention. People who understand that this is God's ordained privilege. Are you following what I'm saying? See, with time, everybody later realizes what they have missed. But you don't have to live your life that way. You can live your life understanding the power of everything right where you are in it. Imagine, have you passed through a phase before, maybe in university or NYSC, and you wish you can go back with the wisdom you now have? You wish you can make some amendments, some repairs. You can make some decisions better. Now imagine living your life now with a better revelation. And you will never have to be wishing and wishing. Now, I have across our centers, and I say it with all humility, different people who have reached out, sir, I want to be my spiritual father, this is. I have not even been able to reply many. I will have to wait for the time I get there and use the 5-10 minute opportunity we have to talk to try to see, okay, let's try establish a relationship. But what happened to those who used to be there while I was there and never saw it? Never. Or never took it serious. I was talking to a young man. I said, I am in Abuja. You are my spiritual. You are in Abuja. You never attended any of my meetings. You don't even not sure. He's reached out to me and said, I want to be trained. I want all the messages of ISM. I laugh. That is how you be trained. Wow. Wow. Tell your neighbor, for your own good, begin early. Now tell the neighbor again, look into your neighbor's eyes. Are you afraid of your neighbor? For your own good, begin early. Let me say this to you. You can never have early commencement if you don't have early awareness. Do you know who you are? My God. So I saw this illustration and it blessed my heart by Dr. Miles Monroe. Spoke about when God introduces you to you, you'll be afraid. So Moses was a regular guy working 9 to 5, right? Talk to me now. Working 9 to 5, keeping his father-in-law's sheep. And then 9 to 5, just regular guy. And then God came to him, come, and said to him, I'm about to reintroduce you to you. So I have heard the cry of my people in Egypt of how much they've been afflicted. And I've come to send you to go tell Pharaoh to let my people go. So, this 9 to 5 guy suddenly gets introduced to himself that this is your destiny. You are the deliverer of Israel. The one who will lead them out of Egypt. 420-year-old bondage will be broken because of you. You are going to be the author of the first 5 books of the Bible. Out of your mouth, the law will go out that nations will learn from. You will be the first man in history to divide the Red Sea. You will be the man that nations will fear a nation because of you. God is going to have to lead over 2 million people with a pillar of fire at night and a pillar of cloud because of you. And this was just a regular guy. You are regular until you find you. Until you find you. Until you find you. That privilege of early awareness. You see, let me tell you this. One of the things early awareness will do is that it will inform the depth of your preparation. Please be seated. It will inform the depth, the seriousness you give to your life, the way you carry yourself, the way you carry yourself. Once you know that you are a man God will use to change the world, there are some kind of way you will never show up. True or not true? There are places you will never be found. True or not true? If you notice, if you know that a generation is coming that they would like to know and use all the pictures they ever find about you on social media, you be careful what you push out. Because awareness informs. You are not living your life like all others. The reason we are trying to make people know is because they have not seen it. Many are, and as long as they have not seen it, people will perceive, they will perceive the system of help as victimization. They will perceive their leaders as being vindictive. Because they are not seeing the depth of what God wants to do with their lives. If the destiny of somebody is to be a world champion in boxing, and the person has not seen it, and the coach knows, and he's trying to give the fellow the world championship kind of training. So they say, why are you stressing my life? Why are you trying to stress me? Let me say this to you. If you will win it in life, your emotions must not be higher than your decision. Must never. You will have to submit yourself to many things you don't feel like, but it's needed. One of the core important aspects of your life that needs to be trained is your emotions. It will need to be talked in and helped and make decisions for the future. Get the help early. Listen. Listen. Many of you never took many things serious because you actually, what you did, let me tell you what you did. You actually hanged your awareness around a certain age. You decided to operate with your own calendar. And what you did was to scorn God's perspective about you. So you said, I will begin to consider myself mature at a certain age. But God has been waiting 2 years earlier. Some people have hanged the season of their maturity or awareness of maturity at 30. That once I'm 30, yes, then I will know. Who told you? Some have said, and let me tell you, this is the reason, listen, can I talk to you? This affects ladies the most. You see, everything is not about you and your timing. It's about God's timing and God's method. Are you following what I'm saying here? You see, you can say as a girl that I will be ready for relationship and marriage at so and so age. But God has brought the person earlier, years earlier. And everything about your mind and life is shut down. Because you have chosen to walk only by your timing. See, we must be people of the Spirit. Where you can go back and review what you have decided. Okay, God, even though I have made up my mind that this is the time, but is this you? And God will say, actually, you didn't consult me about that decision. So this is me. And one of the ways you know you have missed the timing is that the door is shut after it for a long time. It is. Except you don't want me to tell you the truth. Are you following what I'm saying? Very, very key. Say it again. I pay attention to God's timing for my life. Say it again loud and clear. So there are some young ministers or whatever, that it is a subtle thing. They've subtly decided that they will begin to consider themselves a serious minister. In fact, somebody was asking on social media, he said, at what age does a minister leave the category of being called young minister? You can barely refer to me as young minister. I don't carry myself like that. A minister is a minister. Or get into frivolous things, and then they are trying to hold him, and they are, no. I don't have that time. Writing jargons online, doing jargons, everybody's trying to say, because he's a young person. No, I don't have that time. That's nonsense. God has committed life to my hand earlier. I can't waste those lives. I can't crash with them. I can't experiment with their fulfillment. You have to enter into certain maturity early. It's not God's fault that he found you early. It's your fault if you fail to realize it. Are you following what I'm saying? Don't waste people's lives and destiny. So look at it. Check the timing you have set for yourself to now begin to understand that your life is important. Check. You have reached a decision without knowing. You have. And one of the ways you will know is that you will only begin to do certain things as you approach that season. Until then, you will waste time. Somebody can wake up all day and just play away the life. But the same person, when the fellow is about to clock 30, now say, now this is the time. No, you have wasted the years to start preparing. I'm asking you a question. What timeline have you given yourself as a season to become aware of your potentials? Are you correct to have said that time? Or has God been waiting earlier? God been waiting earlier. I was sharing with the pastors yesterday night. Saw the video of a young boy, 21-year-old, getting married. People were insulting him. I said, if the boy knows he's ready at 21 and he's marrying a girl who knows she's ready at 20, listen to what I'm saying. Mommy Folu Adeboye married at 21. Is he 21 or even 27? Kenneth Yegin married at 23. And the wife was maybe 19. And they did well. It is foolishness that got us to this level. So we have delayed maturity. Sometimes I look at people, I'm asking, are you aware your mate in those days? Your mate already have 3 children and you are behaving like this. Like you should knock foolishness out of their head. Get up! I've been asking, at what point did timing change? Because it looks as though the moment that timing awareness changed, people have delayed maturity. The maturity that should have happened at 19, they now shift it for 27. 8 years later. Meanwhile, their grandmas began to take responsibility that early. We just delay ourselves. Oh, yes. And some have set maturity for certain season, or seriously for certain season. When I get married, then I will now begin to learn. I will now begin to be a provider. No. Nobody learns to be a provider in marriage. You start doing it before you get married. So that, listen. I want to say some things, but they are tough. Listen to what I'm saying. You must fight for your way out. It is not handed to anybody cheaply. The same obstacle you are complaining about, people have risen regardless of it. So, whose fault is it? If you know what many of us have had to rise through, the problem, the challenges, the trouble, the things that want to cover your soul. At one point, I shared this story. During my NYC, we're having a regular conversation about life. Myself and a couple of friends. And I have been having secret tears and pain in my heart. All of a sudden, it began to occur to me that actually of everybody in this family, my case is actually worse. Because everybody reached out to me to, counsel and all. So I listened to them. And I just kept saying in my heart, if only you even know my own problem right now. And that day, it had gotten to a point where I could not hold it. In the middle of that conversation, I just bursted into tears. I mean, people were shocked. Period, what's happening? And because it was something I bottled up for so long, I was crying and I was shaking and I was shivering. Because God had told me as at that time that once you are done from here, go back to Ife. And it just occurred to me, everybody here will go back to their father's house and go and do something even while they are waiting. I don't have anywhere to go to. My God! I have to go back to Ife from the scratch. From the very scratch. No kobo. For rent. Scot around. If I see that the place is not pleasant, I will enter any hostel myself and Yemi Kings. And just once we see that, okay, people are not here or much, just lie down. If they come and meet us, just lie down. First in the morning, we'll get out again. What's your excuse? What's your excuse? The problem many of you have was that nobody ever dealt with you growing up. Life has not, you've always been spoon-fed. That's your problem. Somebody was always there to carry you. They were always there to help you. Get up from that nonsense and find your way out. For it's too late. For your children will hate you passionately. But they have to call you daddy for respect. I'm telling you now. This thing is never handed over to anybody. You fight for it. In Spirit of Life Church, we are fighting for it. We have a project this month. We are all giving up of our salary. It is not up to a quarter of the amount we need for where we want to take. Quarter. Just to let you know that you didn't do it, and I know you didn't do it, except for those few who did. But we don't stop fighting. See, you break out of the hold. And that can never happen without awareness. There's a way you live your life. There's a way, there's a posture you have when you know that what God is doing through you will change the world. There's a way you study. There's a way you pray. There's a level of preparation you give yourself to. My wife was asking me, I said, every topic you preach on look like that's what you were called to preach on. So if you take relationship and people think that's what you do. You take this one, people. I said, it is the power of preparation. It is the power of preparation. To prepare yourself. To be hard on yourself. So sometimes I look at people, just little correction here and there. What are you talking about? Brace up! I'm not saying you should not cry. Cry, but get up and be fine. Me too, I cry when I need to cry. Alright, because some of you are looking at me and I say, No, it's okay to cry. You see, it's okay to cry. When people are crying, I get confused. I just, okay, don't worry, you'll be fine, you'll be fine. But honestly, I'm really drawn into that emotions. I'm really drawn. But because I have a spot for people, so like, my own is sad that when you're done, okay, get back and do it again. If not, you'll cry throughout your life. So, be fine, okay? Don't cry again, okay? Then, okay, get back. And that's how we grow. That's how we grow. The question is, have you killed your lion and bear? I'm going to show you the difference. I'm going to teach you into the difference. There's a difference. It actually has meaning. Some, you know, it is very easy to kill a lion than a bear. I'm going to explain. Tuesday. Have you killed? Okay, if we ask you now, in that field, you say, okay, you say God wants to use you in ministry. What is your track record? You've not done anything. You don't win souls. You are doing everything at your comfort zone. There is no location you have passed through and they can't forget you. And suddenly you now believe that you now pass through this globe, this world, and the world will remember you. When you pass through a campus, just campus, and you left no mark, you can't go back to campus again, but you can repent and begin from where you are. No, pick your Bible and notes now. List your most important track record, everybody. Write it down. No, write it out. So, because sometimes until you begin to write on paper, you don't face reality. This is not a rhetorical question. Write out your most powerful track record. Who has your life touched the most? What is the most powerful sacrifice you've ever given? What is the most powerful thing you've ever done beyond you? Your track record is not, I bought a suit for 75,000. That's nonsense. Who cares about that? What have you done to impact the world? What have you done for your mark to be felt? Where have you passed through that they can never recover from your impact? Who is alive right now on earth? Who is forever and eternally grateful that you came? Write it out. If you struggle to write, you've not started living. You've not started living. That's what it means. You have not started living until your life starts giving. You've not started living. You are still existing. Everything living lives through contribution. Everything survives and thrives through contribution. Write out your most important track record. I'm not going to ask you to read it out, but note it in your heart. And then ask yourself, if the impact I've written about this place is copy and paste in respect to the world, will I ever leave a mark? No, note what I'm saying. If the impact, if we copy and paste this impact and put it at worldview, will I ever leave a mark? So that we can judge the life we are living now. See, listen, so that our end will not be a surprise. You will not surprise yourself. Bishop Oyedepo said, we are not surprised about where we are today in ministry. We would have been surprised if we are not here. See, we would have been surprised. So people are shocked that they are small in life. How did I end up here? How did I end up here? Because you built towards that. That's how you ended up there. That's what you worked at. What have you done beyond you? The track record of David was not about him, the food he ate. It was about rescue, leadership, the ability to go all out for a cause, the ability to give yourself all out. We went out and something happened this week that touched my life. And it touched me in a very remarkable way. So let me tell you this. When we went out to scout for the venue, and I want to really celebrate him, the man of God that drove us. I just called him. I said, call him. Let him come and drive us through. Because I know others are at work. So when I was looking, my eyes was on the fuel gauge. Like, hey, we need to fill this car up. So we couldn't wait because we had to branch. And by the time we got home, I said, we need to go and fill this car. He said, no. Let this be my own contribution towards this work. How many believers have that mentality? He said, even if I can't give now, but at least this one is Mike. And I'm telling you, we're able to get that venue that we got because he volunteered himself. In fact, he was the one who checked on Google Map and said, I'm seeing a place close by. And that was the place we got. He was the one who checked on Google Map and said, I'm seeing a place close by. The willingness to at least do your own quota. Life will never remember you for what you do for yourself. Life will remember you and reward you for what you do for a cause. For what you do for a cause, for others, for people. Are you following what I'm saying here? That's what life remembers you for. Who are the big names we call today? Nelson Mandela. Spent 23 years, I can't remember the whole, he married, I think, in 1978 or 76. And he was in prison till, is it 1991 or 92? Somebody get me the figures. 27 years in prison, a year after he got married to Winnie Mandela. That was the devotion it took for a man to enter that stature. The world never remembered those who didn't make sacrifices for her. Who are the names we call today? Malcolm X, Martin Luther King, Mother Teresa, Mary Slessor, and all those names. You can never see a significant name that is not traced to sacrifice. You see, listen, the fact that it ought is the reason why many people are not doing it. And that's the reason why at a certain level you have few that enters. Only few have dared to go this far. Because when we say this, people just think people are trying to whine us and do all this. No. No. Only few. I've dared to. I put their own lives on the line to live for a cause. This is the most excellent way to live. Your life is very cheap. If all you want to do is just to get some money, live your life, have children, there is nothing traceable to you that is a quota that is contributed towards humanity, towards the gospel, towards the move of God. Nothing. You have been blessed by others but refuse to be a blessing. Let me tell you this. I have made a vow to live my life in such a way that if it is 5 minutes I spend with somebody who is open-hearted, that person's life will change for life. I've made a vow to live my life that if it is 10 minutes, I have to speak on any platform. Let me leave this one. Because people will say it's pride. You know, people who are not doing much get easily intimidated. They say it's pride. I'm telling you what I've lived my life to do. It doesn't matter where in the world you are bringing people from. If it is 10 minutes, you will know this person is different. So there's a quality of training and attention that informs such living. It is intentional living. Nothing passes you by. You see how everything, event, stories can fit into something that can bless lives. You have lived a life to keep gathering archives. In case you have been wondering how I get my message, this is how it happens. I'm always gathering archives. Because I know what my life is for. I am aware. And it gives me rest. Because you must believe in what you are building. Many, when it gets to sacrifice, I beg you, I can't come and kill myself. The ones you have done, where has it landed you in life? The ones you have done for yourself, where has it landed you in life? Nobody can stress me. I can't kill myself. No, it's an opportunity to have track record. I tell people, say when I was ministering and preaching everywhere and going all out, blah, blah. I said, it began on campus. On campus, sometimes I have 4 places to minister in a day. On campus, 4, 5. I'm telling, go and ask my friends. One of my secondary school mates was reposting what I posted on Twitter, and I read what he wrote. So he said, Dr. Lazar, because as they call me Dr. Lazar, he has always been like this. He began to write his own observation. He's a very focused person. Said he has always been like this. I came from a family where people rarely believe I'm from that family. Outsiders rarely believe I'm from that family. Don't give myself. Are you following what I'm saying here? Yes, I'm telling you the fact. When they want something done real fast and quick and well, say, call Femi, he's going to get it done. Begin to build a consciousness of commitment. Early. Where do you see yourself in life? In the next 10 years, where will you be? Or is your life just reduced to these 4 walls? Some of you are very convenient here. And I found out that many people are convenient in churches that are small. They don't know it is a trait. It is a trait. When something gets bigger than their mindset, they lose touch. And when you watch such lives, they are not planning for anything really serious. Yes. There's a way you can confess serious things, but you are not planning for it. You are not working at it. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Are you following what I'm teaching here? Kill your lion and bear early. Get serious early. See, and let me say this, and I'm saying this again. There are some delays, and I'm saying this to specific situations. There are delays that you embrace with your full chest. Yes. Because I'd rather wait for what God has than to go into what is not my destiny. Are you following what I'm saying? Listen to what I'm saying. Oh. There are delays you embrace with your full chest. Whenever you hear me share stories of maybe I had struggles before I got married, the struggle was not the inability to get a woman. No. Am I stupid? Maybe my entire life, only one girl has ever told me no. And the girl even almost broke our relationship. Only one girl in my life. I'm not saying that's my track record. So is that your track record? Don't be taking things personal. I'm just telling you that I'm not a stupid person. That's what I'm trying to tell you. Do you understand what I'm saying? Huh? And the girl herself has waited for me for about how many years? Me, I didn't know that the old friendliness was that, but when somebody else had come, And how came then? the girl escaped. All right? So I'm telling you a fact. It was just that decision that I am not ready to go on with anything that I'm not sure this is it. I am not ready to trust the destiny of these children to the hand of a woman who will be insecure about them. Because I understand that at the root of this ministry is the family connection. So I'm telling you that there are delays you embrace with your full chest for destiny. I'd rather wait long than to do it early and then my entire significance is gone for it. When I talk about early commencement, it's not like some things. I try to balance. Are you following what I'm saying here? What kind of early commencement is you marrying somebody who has no part in your destiny? See, because you want to marry early, you go and marry an Elijah at 21. You are worse than a woman who is 90 and has not married. She's far better. She has better things to be rewarded for in heaven. Are you following what I'm saying here? Oh, yes. I've said it before. Many of our Christian ladies that we are training in all these churches, many of them don't mind marrying an imam and afar a jihadist. Because the average gospel we preach now is that when it begins to hurt, that's not God's plan for you. That's not God's counsel. Start paying attention to your life early. Early. Start making the adjustments. Start shaping your mindset. Early. Let me share a very funny story. I don't even know why I share a story like that, because you don't think, is this what your life has been about? It's not. It's just that I like to share this. Is that clear? Many people don't find it convenient to share their story, but I just like, you know, to share it with you. I don't even, oh God, my wife will say, hey. There's a lady that, all right, I thought I heard God about. Until we began to talk, and the girl was insisting that so-and-so church is alive. That so, even if we get married, I said, I know God is calling you to ministry. I said, this is the most foolish talk I've ever heard in my life. I was looking at her like that. Okay. I was just saying in my heart, you can never be my wife. Can never. I will look for a way to get rid of you. That's what I was telling myself. The girl was saying, that ministry, that's my church set. That's where I'm called to. Why did you not give me a yes now? So I'll be the lead pastor of a church. Then my wife is the so-and-so head of the pastor in another church. Let's even assume I'm not a pastor. We can understand now. But yesterday, I just had a leading to even just check up on her. And I saw a video she made again. I see of all the churches in the world, that church is the greatest. So I now said to myself that instead of being angry with the mentality this girl have, let's even learn from this church and from her. She has definitely found something. It just won't work for me. But that she has found something should be respected. Period. True or not true? Huh? So this person has found, what have they done to this person? What kind? And let me say this to you, God in heaven will say to Adeo. He will now. How do you think God is a wicked God? He will. He will in a grand style. I'm telling you. So when you are sharing story, your story may only be powerful until the 10 days is over. Let me leave that. You know the 10 days to check now. Sometimes I say some very strong things to allow your mind stretch the muscle of your mind. Catch it fast. Are you following what I'm saying? All right. So the culture around us in Africa is a culture that demonizes early risers. Even at family level. Once people are getting it right early, you shall believe that there's something they are doing wrong. Are you following what I'm saying? You just want to think. You want to stress them. Police will harass you. It means that the society is where it is because nobody is expecting young people to rise. My prophecies are coming to pass reversing the mistake of Joseph. When the continent that is known for laughter, despite struggle, now begin to agitate. We are having the recoil of the early 60s and 70s again. This is the first time it is happening all over the world that there will be coup in a nation. And the people are glad and coming out to say, you can't invade us. We like this. 35-year-old president. 40-year-old president. Nigeria. Otto! 80-year-old man! You never tire. You know why? You know why? Because they have told you that it's not your turn. They fasten that word to your consciousness. Go and wait till your turn. The next person is coming also to go and it's not your turn. I stand here, I have my wish. My wish is that there will be justice at the court of law. But I speak as a man, see Nigeria emerging without a struggle. Do you think a nation like this, the devil will allow a nation this powerful to come out by judges just being their right mind? They would rather prefer to be devils. Until those that it belongs to say, we are ready to die. The most important things will not be dropped on your laps. You fight for it. That's why I tell you, even if it's like we are fighting for it. We will not be here for life. Get out of that place. Wake up. You see, after 1 year, no, you will not. The system will hold you. The grip is very strong. The force of gravity. It means there's a greater force to hold people down than to propel them up. So coming down is only natural in nature. It's natural. It's natural. Being down is natural. You'll have to be extraordinary to go up. Being down is natural. Being down is natural. Let me wrap up with this. When our ministry started, I began, because I looked at the insult I faced, the criticism, the rejection, the hatred, that even those that God is raising my life to be an inspiration to fought me because they could not understand. It is amazing how people fight those that will be a captain to them, because they only see the leadership, they don't even see the service to them. And I began to investigate, who are the ministers that started early? Who are the ministers that found it early and said it? So I marked certain names. One of those strong names is Reverend Sam Adeyemi. I started going to pick the 1997 messages, the early messages. Started reading every story I can find. When I entered those places and studied and heard those things, I came out bold. I began to look for my accusers. Where are you guys now? What I'm doing will work. Watch and see. One of them called me. Say, how are you doing, sir? Say, oh my God, you've been a blessing. I say, sure. You called a council meeting, you know, and told my boys that they should all leave me. That they are following somebody who is not going anywhere in life. That this ministry will fold up in 6 months. Don't follow a man like this. And everyone who followed them, they could not emerge with one. I noted the statistics. Who among those that were, who among these children are those that are still in the path of ministry, in the path of their purpose, even despite the signs? None. None. But I can say that all you have given to me, I have kept. Oh yes. Oh yes. It was a tough walk. They said, we want to bring you over to our place. So our people have been looking forward to having you. Say, my God, they are so excited. When I told them that I know you, they were so excited. So now you are telling people you know me to collect shine. Wow. Wow. Because you never stopped. Those who are being cautious are not necessarily wiser than you. They may just be timid. When you have a revelation about something, and you have been guided, you have voice of correct instruction around you, do it like your life depends on it. Don't let anybody shut you down. I spoke with my dad. And he said to me, my God, Said, God has raised you to raise the name of this family. I said, thank God. The many people trust me with many contracts and millions because they know I'm your father. I said, thank God. But I kept remembering how I was disowned because of this same thing. I kept remembering. So if I have stopped, will this be happening? Get up on your feet, everyone. Let me give you a minute to cry to God. The grace for early awareness, early commencement, early maturity. I receive it. Please pray. Please pray. Please pray. Please pray. The grace for early commencement, early awareness, early maturity. To get it right early, don't pray quiet prayers. Not to be distracted from your purpose. Pray. 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 Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we are praying. Listen, let me tell you two things. There are levels of productivity you will never step into until you have responsibility that match. Meaning that no matter how much you pray for abundance, as long as you have not expanded your mind and your life in such a way that there is something, the abundance, that is the abundance in respect to that project is not abundance. You will never walk in it. Because God will not give you what will sink you. He will not give you what. What can you handle by the virtue of awareness? What can you handle? If somebody rises up today and says, I want to sow 50 million naira to serve Life Church, I guarantee you, before God whom I stand, what the 50 million naira will do instantly is on ground. In fact, it will not be enough. How big are your dreams? What can cater for it? And that's why many of you are easily impressed. We have people get into frivolous things, easily impressed by themselves. Small things. What have you seen? 1 million. You are so excited. You are so excited. When this ministry started, what the ministry can pay me was 5,000. Okay? So I took inventory of the monthly commitment I have. Direct commitment to things, people, mentors, not ministry, direct. All right? And I counted 865,000 there consistently monthly. So, what is 1 million? That's still small compared to, of course, the emergencies. I'm talking about the ones that are regular. Regular. Okay? This person is on salary from me. So and so time. This one too. This family. This from me. So and so time. 865,000. So, and I'm not saying this to spite anybody or to say. So. Sometimes people say, I thank you for your seed, though, but just so you know the size of what I'm doing, of my vision. The size. So it is that size that determines what comes your way. It's that size. So if somebody just said, post 500,000, maybe some years back, I'm like, but now what it will do is on ground. That's just the truth. And because it is fixed on ground, God is obligated to provide. It is not about me. It is not about me. God is obligated. Aye. What is your life about? The question is not just when will you kill your lion and bear. The question is, will you ever? And let me give one last warning. You see, God is giving you the scepter of authority early. Take it early. Fight for it early. You will not always have the time to do the right things. You build a culture of learning to do them now. Don't be blinded by your own light. Don't be satisfied with the petty things. Very petty things. Don't be satisfied. Have the life. See, when you have the life of someone who is pursuing something, you'll never be frivolous. Too many things on ground. And as much as I love you all in Abuja, I mean, I wish I could be here with you forever, but I'm not going to be here forever with you. Once I'm done from here, I pick a new challenge. I can't wait to be in Kano. Do a few weeks with them there. Start a strong walk for God. There are lives that need to be touched. So it means you need to carry what you need to carry and continue from where I stop. That's what it means. Think you are learning all these things so you can be seated for life. What's your idea of membership? We are to train you till you become profitable for ministry. That's our work. And the entry point to doing that is stewardship. That's the most basic. And it comes at a cost. You start learning further.
The message you just listened to is sponsored by the friends and partners of Femi Lazarus Apostolic Ministries Ecumenical, Flame. To partner with Flame, kindly make use of these account details. 2215005289 UBA.